The Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the National Rugby League. I think there was plenty of faces broken this round, which is a little bit scary. Not so sure about a chainsaw and skin your ass raw, but there was definitely some broken faces this round.
Wow.
Amongst other things.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This is NRL week, or NRL podcast, I should say. And obviously, going from the song that we just played, Break Stuff by Limp Bizkit, we might as well just talk about that straight off the top. The NRL decided to introduce a 18th man to the squad. It's basically, and it's all been commissioned, it's all ready to go from round five. I mean, the only caveat that I can sort of, obviously, that stands out is that they can only activate an 18th man when three players from the team have failed HIA assessments.
Yeah, well, that pretty much is a direct result from, I guess, the two major casualty games that happened this week.
Yeah.
With Canberra, New Zealand, and Cronulla and Parramatta. So
you like the ring?
I think they've been trying to push for this a little bit, especially last year, and you know, now that they've sped everything up so insanely fast now, that this could be a lot more of a common occurrence than what people think. You know, that I've just heard, I think it was James Hooper on, might have been NRL 360, might have been last night or the night before, where he said, like, you know, over the last 2 years or whatever, 158 games or something, then yeah, this is the first time this has happened. So you know, the three HIAs have been failed. We've had multiple players fail HIAs before, but two games in one round where one team in Canberra finished the game with one healthy person on the bench from, you know, with 56 minutes still to play. And obviously the second half of Cronulla's Cronulla and Parramatta. Yeah, Cronulla had no players on the bench, and plus Parramatta also had lost Mitchell Moses as well.
Yeah.
So there was, you know, there was essentially five injuries in that. So look, I do like the way that they, I guess it's a little bit reactive rather than proactive, but I guess and what a lot of people are sort of saying out there at the moment too is how our coach is going to exploit it.
Wow.
It's going to be a developmental player that they're going to be able to bring off the bench, like not an actual first grader, or you know, some, or at least somebody in their 30-man squad.
It has to be someone in your 30-man squad.
It's irresponsible, I think, if you just make it, say, a developmental player or something like that. It's irresponsible. They've got to have, even if it's somebody for their first grade debut, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, maybe somebody that has played, knows what first grade's like. Like, if you're a developmental player or anything like that, you've never played first grade before, and your team fails three, you know, your team has failed three HIAs. Now you're going into a side where you're going to have one or no interchanges. So you're getting, you know, a birth of fire for your first taste of first grade football. So I think there has to be some sort of compromise to that, you know, if they're talking about whether it's going to be a developmental player, or I think it still has to be somebody with, you know, some sort of first grade experience, even if it's one or two games. At least they know what it's like.
It has to be. I mean, to me, it has to be someone in that that's contracted as in that 30-man squad. And there's no point of putting a developmental player in, because if you're down to one reserve player, you need someone that has first aid experience or has some, you know, that could actually help the team, so to speak. So you're right. No, it is well, very.
That's right. I think they're just thinking along the lines of, hey, we're giving you an extra body, and that's all you can really take from that, which, you know, which is admirable. But who's to say how often this could happen?
Well,
but
that's right.
Like I said, you know, now with the game being as fast as what it is, this it'll still be a rare occasion, but it's going to be a little bit, well, not prevalent, but it's definitely going to occur again, and possibly this season.
Yeah, I think I not possible. I think it will happen again this season, just from the speed of the game, as you said. So I can't. I mean, with the rules put in place, I don't see coaches exploiting it really to an extent, because again, you're going to have three players fail HIA. So
there's talk around that, you know, the way to sort of combat that, you know, if they just want to get a fresh body on the field and make an interchange. Obviously, if they fail the HIA, you don't want to risk them failing the HIA and they're not being allowed to come back on.
And they're automatically.
The other thing is too, is if they fail the HIA, then they've got to have, you know, say a 10-day period off.
That's
so
right.
So they basically have to miss the next game as well.
That's right. That's the whole point of that.
Say if it's a James Tedesco or a Ryan Pappenhausen or you know one of those caliber players, then they'll be like, well, we simply can't afford to lose him, and you know, teams won't take that risk. It could take a little while, but I still think there's going to be, I don't know, there's still going to be some sort of exploitation of it.
I don't know how,
but there'll be teams out there that'll work it out to get some sort of loophole.
It just doesn't. I mean, you're right. It's possible, but it doesn't make sense, like you said, because the rule is you legitimately have to have that next game off if you fail HIA. So, which I've always liked that rule. I mean, because who's to say you can't fully recover for that week? You don't know that, really. So,
I guess everybody's different too in the way that they.
Well, that's right.
You know what I mean? The way that they recover from their HIAs and from their concussion tests and the way that they go about things. So. There's going to be some sort of exploitation of it, and I guess we'll have to sit around and wait and see and watch footy and find out how someone's going to do it.
So we'll get into the games. The first game was a Thursday night. It was a cracking game. Panthers end up getting over the Storm 12-10. That puts the Storm now two losses. Two losses in a row. I know it's only early days, but...
No, early days, but I guess a lot of people wouldn't be accustomed seeing Melbourne, I guess, sort of this low on the ladder. And like you said, granted, it's only round three, so a couple of losses, you know, big deal. They've got the caliber of players there that this, you know, sort of mini slump is easy to get out of. And granted as well, they have played some pretty good opponents to start the season. It's not as if they've been playing, you know, the perennial nobodies or, you know, the teams that are going to be sort of poor to start the season. So, we sort of pumped the brakes on it a little bit. I think, you know, Melbourne will be okay, but, you know, obviously no Cleary and no Pappenhausen in this game sort of took a little bit of star power out of the grand final rematch.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it, I agree. I mean,
and no Appy Coruscant still as well.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I'm not worried. It's only three rounds in. Yeah. One out of three doesn't mean I'm not buying into any theories or anything yet. So I just, and they were, and Panthers, I said it last week, have a well-rounded 1-17 squad. So, and Melbourne were with them. Melbourne stayed with them the entire time. And look, I guess we could talk about the end of the game a little bit later. But the first half was fairly even both sort of ways.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's just an unbelievable game. yeah. you know, even sort of us being deprived of that star power, but it still, you know, lived up to expectation, you know, to every letter that you'd throw out there to for a grand final rematch, to be in like a showpiece kind of game. I don't really, to me, I'm not really a big fan of sort of having it on a Thursday night. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, I've never been a big fan of Monday nights. And Thursday night footy is pretty much the same. Like, you're always going to have an ordinary crowd there, and you always want to have, you know, I'd rather see bums on seats than, you know, having to Google, you know, how many people watch this game on yeah. you know, on Foxtel or on Channel 9. You know what I mean? I'd rather see bums on seats.
Yeah, 14,000. And the crowd was pretty engaged, I thought. For 14,000, it was pretty lively, at least, anyway. So,
no, that's not, you know, that's not a bad crowd for a Thursday night, you know, in Sydney.
Yeah. I think Cameron Munster, you know, as a, in the losing sort of game, was absolutely sensational in that game.
He's a star. He's a star. We all know he's a star.
He... He's not that great with the boot, but that's okay. He doesn't need to be that great.
You don't want to just simplify it to that and go, oh well, this, you know, this game was won and lost
on
a missed conversion. You can simplify it that way and say, yeah, well, that totally changes the game. But, you know, it's to me, I think the, when you, if you want to put it that way, then they're definitely missing the very reliable left boot of Cameron Smith.
Yeah, and I don't know. Well, I guess at the moment he is their goal kicker. And they said, yeah, you can't harp on that. Because...
Well, he will be. That's why Pappenhausen's kicked the first two games. So, yeah. You know, obviously he was out. So that means it's your second choice kicker. So, you know, there's not a whole to simplify it that way is to take a lot, you know, too much away from this game, because Penrith were on their secondary kicker as well, and Stephen Crichton. So, and
I'm just trying to work out, but you know, just for Melbourne, I don't know if Harry, I just sort of work out what that's that little bit that's missing with them at the moment. I don't think Harry Grant coming into it is automatically going to mean then we're just going to win the next 10, 12 games. And yes, like you said, Pappenhausen was out. I personally think Jerome Hughes could do a little bit more. I just think he's okay, but I think he could do a little bit more personally.
Yeah, and to say that as well, like, you know, this is Munster's team now, so he's
correct.
He's generally going to be your first option, but you know, for him as a secondary option is still pretty good. So it would be hard for him sort of playing that secondary role behind Munster as well to try and get himself more involved, because then you can sort of, you know, you can force yourself a little bit too much, and then you can sort of oversimplify things, and then you can start to make mistakes and things like that. Just have a look at, you know, the Broncos with Anthony Milford. You know, they're heaping so much pressure on him that He just got to simplify the game. You just got to break it down into little increments and do the little things and do the simple things effectively and correctly, rather than trying to go out there and listen to the media and listen to the newspapers and everything and go, oh well, I have to just take this game by the scruff of the neck and try and do too much.
Oh no, I just think he probably could. I mean, and you like you just said, and Munster ran only 200 meters, so he probably didn't have a chance. I think he's just.
No, that's right.
That end of last year, he was running, even with Munster there and everybody there, he was running a lot more freer, Jerome Hughes. I just think it's possible if he can get back into that little bit of form. So
is that also a product of Cameron Smith?
Maybe. Don't know. I don't know. Again, we'll see if what Harry Grant sort of changes in that dummy half role. I still don't think Brandon Smith's a dummy half. I think roaming, he could be a lot better, like a lock, possibly. I don't know. I think he's a great player. I just don't know if he is an actual dummy half, personally.
Well, and that's the other thing too. He sort of, by the looks of it, he needs to get a, you know, you don't want to say he needs to get a little bit fitter, but he's there's times there where he just looks absolutely gassed. Do you know what I mean? And he's only getting through 60. You know, he's only getting through 60, 65 minutes each game. So, and not everybody's like Cameron Smith. Not everybody's like Appy Coruscant. There's just not a lot of 80-minute dummy halves around anymore. Like, it's just, if you've got one, then that's great. Then you can save yourself interchanges. And if they're still effective as, you know, as effective in the first minute compared to the 79th minute.
Yeah, that's exactly right. On the other side, young halfback who played halfback, Matt Burton, God damn, he's got a good kick on him. He's good. He had a great kicking game there. He had 14 kicks for 584 metres, for kicking metres. So, among other things he did in that game, he's only 21, which sort of, I didn't really know that. I thought he was actually
older. Oh, yeah, no, he's only very young.
And obviously he looks like he's still going to Canterbury this year. Everything's pointed to that by the looks of it. They're pushing hard to get that release.
They absolutely want him now. And Penrith are holding their ground and saying no, that's not happening for this reason. You know, he comes in as a backup. You know, and that's good depth for Penrith. And if they want to win a premiership, and one of your halves goes down, like, what we got to do? We'll talk about it later. What we got to do is have a look at the Roosters.
What do you think of? I know we're sort of staying on this game a bit, but it was a great game. They did during the week to lure him as soon as possible before his contract starts next year, just a swap deal with Dylan Napa. Would you have taken that?
No, probably not.
No, I wouldn't have either, because I think they're right in that forward sort of pack personally. So, and like you just said, he's there for that reason. I think. I mean, the Canterbury can say exactly whatever they want. Canterbury were claiming that he won't develop if he remains at the Panthers because he won't get enough game time. But they're just trying every single thing to get him earlier because they need him, which we'll talk about later. But
yeah, of course they are.
He's going to be a really good player. And, you know, just along Flanagan, going to be a very good player. Just from seeing what I've just seen, only in that little small sample size. So.
True. And, you know, I guess there was a little bit of a controversial end to this game as well. Yeah. You know, Melbourne were there or thereabouts at the end, you know, with the short kickoff and, you know, getting it back. And then they're being called back for a knock on. But then the referees, I think, missed. They were looking too hard at trying to find the knock on and they missed a clear, accidental offside. I think they were looking too hard at one thing and that they were missing something else. So I guess you could sort of say, or, you know, whether or not Melbourne was stiffed on the bill a little bit there. But other than that, an unbelievable game. It sucks that it did end in that sort of fashion, in that sort of manner. But, you know, them's the breaks. And
I'll put it this way, because, I mean, there was a lot of things at that end that I didn't like. Even if they gave the penalty, there's not every, like, it's not Cameron Smith's not there, like we said at the start of this game.
That's right. That's a monster kick. That's 40 meters and you're 10, 15 meters from the sideline.
That's right.
On the wrong side for a left footed kicker.
So there's no chance, there's no, you know, 100% chance Munster's going to get it.
They would have won. But it's been, the opportunity's been taken away.
Correct. They personally would have won that game if Justin Ollam decides to throw the ball like he did in the first try to Addo Carr. Addo Carr was, there was no one in front of him. He had daylight. He just had to throw him the ball like he did for that first try for Addo Carr.
Got held up.
And Addo Carr, exactly. But if he threw the ball, Addo Carr would have breezed up. He would have walked over.
Exactly. He's made a few gaffes.
Oh my god!
This season, Ollam is.
I'm not gonna harp on his education, but I don't know. Yeah, he has some questionable things that go through his head. But he didn't. That's what I mean. The first try to Addo Carr, it's exactly how that last bit played out. It was a perfect. He threw the ball. He drew the player in, and Addo Carr scored. Addo Carr was wide open there. I love how Kikau but just. He played like he got taken out and then somehow ran all that way just to
exactly. And then all of a sudden recovers back. Yeah, like, give me a break.
So, yeah, good win by Penrith. Yeah. Well, look, they look the goods. Got a bit of a trot going too. I mean, I know they lost the grand final, but you know their regular season record, if we count last year, is pretty goddamn good. They haven't lost.
Yeah. Many. Well, yeah. Whatever it is, 17-18 regular season wins in a row. It's just like, cool, do it in the grand final.
Next game was the first Friday game. The Dragons looked obliterating the Manly Seagulls, which I'm perplexed what's going on at Manly at the moment. Personally, I don't know. I'm trying to work it out. I just don't know what's going on there.
I think they're just a team that's unbelievably desperately just out of form. Like, you know, you look the two worst sides in the competition, or the three worst sides in the competition, clearly are the three that are on the bottom: North Queensland, Canterbury, and Manly. And they look so far off the pace.
Yeah,
it's not fun. It's not funny. Like, yeah. And this is only round three. Like, you know, something needs to happen with all three of those clubs very soon. Just to get some confidence back, because they don't look likely. All three of them.
No, all three of them. I mean, Canterbury sort of, and a snippet is probably a little bit above them because they look like they're trying. But
they've been held to nil in their last two games.
I agree, but I don't know. It's probably regardless of the score. Maybe it's just an effort I'm looking at. But yeah, they're all three. They're a step behind everybody else, and a step behind a Dragons side.
Manly, in that first 20 minutes, they were completing less than 50%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's unbelievable. Like, you just can't keep constantly coughing up the ball, and expect to be competitive.
Yeah, and there was that. It wasn't even the amount of errors they were conceding. It was also their completion rate. What do they have? Yeah, 25 of 38 in the total game. So there's no way Tom Dvojevic comes out of the side and automatically that team changes. I don't think it may get better. I don't think it's going to get that better.
It will get better because, boy, Dylan Walker is just not having a fun time.
No.
In that fullback role at all, man.
No. We've laughed both games. Yeah. Every game we've said it's not his fault, and every game he's put there, and every game he just doesn't know how to slide properly. He just, I don't know if he's talking to the players, and again, it's not his fault, but man, I don't know what's going on there. I mean, maybe he is going to be the difference, Tommy. On the other side, Zach Lomax. I mean, he's a good kicker, isn't he?
Oh man, yeah.
I forgot.
Hell, that's what I mean. Like, is he going to play? He's going to play New South Wales this year, right?
It's possible.
He's got to.
Possible. I mean, yeah.
Is he not the form center of the competition?
I think so. I mean, even the guy playing next to him played pretty good. Jack Bird, two line break assists and two tries.
This is what the Broncos have been wanting for three freaking years, for him to be healthy and play football.
Yeah, it's like the whole Gordon Hayward thing in Boston Celtics. If anyone follows NBA, Boston's been wanting Gordon Hayward to do so much, Jack Bird,
to do what he's doing right now.
But just like Jack Bird, he was injury prone in Boston, and like Jack Bird was injury prone in Brisbane. So,
yeah, sure.
They looked great. Ben Hunt played with a broken arm a lot during that game.
Broken sort of top. Top bit of the fibula, I think it was. I've seen the X-ray of it, and it looked horrible. Apparently, didn't he play with that for like 71 minutes?
Yeah, that's what I read. Yeah.
Grief. Like, you know, the people want to go out there and rag on him for being a bit lackluster and not living up to his million-dollar paycheck. But yeah, and that sucks, man, because he was granted it was against North Queensland last week. They're making everybody look good this year, but he's looking good, looking comfortable. I think a lot of that could be to do with the combination that they have, that ex-Brisbane connection with McCulloch,
yeah,
Corey Norman and himself. I think they've really got they're starting to establish that connection that they used to have at the Broncos when they're all there together.
I totally agree. I think you were saying that people going about what he was getting paid and all that. I still think looking at it, yeah, there's been gaffes and all that, but I still think it was justified, personally.
Look, it is because he showcases it on the bigger stages. You know, look at him when he plays Origin. You look at him when he comes off the bench for Australia. He rises to the challenge, except you know, on that fateful day in October in 2015. But here, generally, you know, you would say 99 times out of 100, he rises to the challenge, and you know, especially in those big games. And you know, now that St. George Illawarra are finding that little bit of something and spark, and now he's hurt, and he could be out for 4 to 6 weeks. So that really sucks for him.
Which is so, isn't that interesting? Yes, Adam Clune will come in there, which is fine. He's been pretty capable or okay. They're going up against a red hot Knights they're going up against this week.
Weren't so red hot this week.
Well, no, but I still think they got the goods there. I just think it's funny that he can return in 4 to 6 weeks from a broken or fractured fibula. But you know, like a high ankle sprain that we've talked about before can be just the same amount of time off. I just find that interesting.
Oh, that's what I mean. You see ankle injuries, things like that. People linger around and you're out for 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know every injury is different. It just depends on how it heals, I guess. But yeah.
No, it's the same thing. It's how every person's body is different on how it recovers, and some people can get over it quickly, and others take a lot of hard work to get the same result.
Next Friday night game was the Rabbitohs prevailing over the Roosters in front of a fairly healthy crowd, 23,000, with the cavalcade
and
of
some very high profile guests. Of the owner of the South Sydney Rabbitohs as well that were in attendance.
Extremely high profile Marvel guests. So
that's right. Yeah, exactly. It's
and he's now. Did you really read? He's now reported to have a small role in Thor, the next Thor, Russell Crowe. So.
Oh my god.
Oh well, Matt Damon did. He was holidaying in Byron. They said you want to do this for 2 minutes. So why not? That was pretty funny, that movie. But yes, it was. There's a huge amount of stars up in there. They probably watched one of the, you know, a decent game to sort of watch, I guess. The Rabbitohs were red hot in that first half. You know, they zipped out to that 18-0. Were just red hot. I was literally doing something that I got home to sort of turn this on, and it was just after the first. Yeah, it was 43 because Cody Walker scored. And what the hell is going on? Did I miss something? Yeah, I did miss a half.
They were so dominant.
Yeah.
And it also didn't help too that the Roosters, a very sort of un-Rooster-like performance. Yeah. So a lot of people sort of want to go out there and say, you know, especially over the last 5 years or so, that they'd be just been so great and so dominant. Just cheap turnovers, giving the Rabbitohs quality possession, and they pounced, and that's what you've got to do, especially against a team like the Roosters. You can't just take things for granted. If you get given quality possession inside their 20, you've got to take it.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that's exactly what they did. Especially Cody Walker, again, he got two tries in this game, but I love when he runs the ball. I really do.
Oh yeah.
He's a very capable player that can play. I know what happened last year for the Origin, but he's capable of playing in Origin.
He'll get another opportunity at that. He keeps showing this kind of form.
Yeah.
And the New South Wales selectors won't be able to deny him another shot. Like he will absolutely get another crack at Origin.
What I find interesting, and because he played a fairly decent game again, Latrell Mitchell, He'll obviously be in the squad as well. You know, do they presumptively just go, well, it's, yeah. I mean, you're assuming you go to Tedesco and then you presumptively put him back to lock that pushes someone like a to center and pushes someone like a Zach Lomax out, unfortunately. I just, because you're not going to not have Latrell there because of the way he's been playing. And, you know, Tedesco is Tedesco. Tedesco can do, like, that one try he got, that was nothing. That was literally from nothing, that try.
No, yeah, that's right. Scored. And that's so, and that's what that's what he does. That's just what he does.
So yeah, they had a couple of injuries in that game to their halves. Unfortunately, to the luckless Lachlan Lamb, who seems to always be injured, and then but Luke Keary with a knee problem. So they'll come into next week.
The Lamb one looked horrible, and also Lindsay Collins went down. This is when the HIA started to occur, and yeah, you know, Lindsay Collins was in Disneyland, and you knew he was done for the night. The Lachie Lamb one, that looked, you know, I don't know if anybody sort of remembers an English fast bowler in Simon Jones when he sort of dived for the ball at the Gabba, and the Gabba was a little bit sandy, shall we say, and his knee just dug in to the ground, and he just went toppling over himself, and he never played for England again after that. It just ruined his career. This wasn't to that extreme, but you could see when Lamb's leg hit the ground and it just stuck, and yeah. Then all of a sudden this massive divot came up, like I was hitting on a fairway at the third at Rose Bay. This huge divot just came up. And it's just like, oh, and he, same sort of thing. He went toppling over a little bit, and it's like, that's not good. The first thing I thought of was dislocated kneecap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you see him sort of clutch at that. I've seen him sort of grab for his kneecap, not, you know, not sort of the knee areas. You see him sort of pushing around at the kneecap, and I'm like, oh, don't tell me he's dislocated a kneecap. That's rough. And then it, proceeded to get worse for the Roosters after that.
Yeah, it did. And then exactly what you said before, the Rabbitohs took full advantage of that. So they look like they'll welcome back Victor Radley this week, the Roosters. But two new halves, I don't know.
New halves, yeah. You know, Keary done for the season. You know, and an innocuous little step back off the left.
Yeah.
And I think he knew it straight away, just by his reaction. So they've got young kid Sam Walker and Drew Hutchison,
yeah,
who are coming into the halves. So look, you know, I guess the jury is out for me to see how well they go. Obviously, they've still got Tedesco there, so and you know, they've got the Morris boys. They've still got plenty of firepower, but that will be interesting to see how those two halves gel and how quickly they can sort of get up to speed with first grade, because it's a possibility that they could be the long-term halves pairing for a lot of this season.
And the team that go up against the Warriors can, you know, they have enough weapons to sort of go over them. So
absolutely. And yeah, just I guess before we sort of move on to the next game, the sin binning, of the young fella Saluka Fifita. I guess, you know, no pun intended, but rabbit punching Jai Arrow in the back of the head.
Yep.
And I don't give a shit when anybody says, oh, you know, it was only a little tap and you know, there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, malice. I don't care. That's intent. I don't care about malice. That's intent.
Correct.
They clearly had a plan to go out there and try and disrupt Jai Arrow.
Yeah.
And this deadbeat has gone in attack and punched him in the back of the head. If that goes wrong, if he, you know, if the competitive juices get a little bit too much for him, and he hits him in the wrong spot, or he hits him too hard, and yeah, do you know what I mean? Then what happens? Do you know what I mean? Straight to the back of the head, just deadbeat.
It reminded me of that Brett Tate one that he did when he punched him, like his, the, I can't remember who was on the ground, but Brett Tate come over and punched someone from New South Wales just right in the sort of side of the face.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
It's rugby league, man up. You want to do so? You want to do something? Do it face to face. So yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, you don't need that. You just don't need to see that garbage at all in the game. And when he got sent, for 10, you could see that there was a whole bunch of Rabbitohs standing there, and there must have just been abuse being hurled at him.
Oh, 100%.
At a geometrical rate. And he turned around. And it's just like, dude, do you realize what you've just done? Just turn around and walk your ass off. And he tried to get back into everyone's face, and Jai Arrow's waving at him, telling him goodbye and everything. As soon as I seen it, you don't want to overreact, but that's a Shandy off a send off.
Yeah, 100%. I know he was always a good player anyway, but Jai Arrow looks like buy of the year so far. God, he's looking at just slotted in so nicely into that Rabbitoh squad. Very nicely. Right.
He's a good player.
No, I knew. He's always good, I know. But, he's complimented that side very, very well, very early.
Oh, absolutely.
Next game was the Raiders going down to the Warriors 34-31, which was one of these games, like we said, where they had one player left on the bench. And still were in it for I guess you sort of seen where they got sort of run back in right at the end there. In the last sort of three tries or four tries even, but they started red hot. They started very red hot.
And even so, with the amount of injuries that they had sort of early on, you know, Tarpany went down early with that ankle sprain. Then Ryan James comes on, and he's on for like 5 minutes or 6 minutes. And him and Sebastian Chris have a real nasty, you know, sort of head clash as they were going to tackle. I can't remember who the player was, and they basically land on top of each other.
Yeah.
So, not to say that you kind of knew that their afternoon was done. You could have a look at Sebastian Chris's face and say, yes, his afternoon's done. Because he was seeing little Tweety birds, you know, flying around his head after that. It just compounded from there. After 23 minutes, all they had left on the bench was Tom Starling, and that was it.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a sorry sight, too. I think they showed a picture or video where he just had one person sitting on the bench. But
the thing was, too, like it didn't knock Canberra around in the first half.
No.
Like they were just going about their business, and they had a 16-minute period where they put on four tries. And all I was saying to myself watching this game was they need to keep pouring on the points, Canberra. Keep pouring on the points.
Which they did.
Because there's only one guy left on the bench. They're going to get chased down.
Yeah.
And they need to make sure that they had enough points on the board to stop that from happening. And 31 just wasn't enough.
And they had a very good – they completed nearly all their sets too, 85% completion rate. So –
No, that's right. Yeah, not giving a lot of cheap turnovers away. No. The Warriors, all the Warriors had to do was to keep the ball in play, and the same sort of thing. Have a high completion rate, and it doesn't matter which team it would have been. It could have been a representative team that they were going to wear down in the end.
Well,
it's just a simple fact that they were going to wear down.
They kept the ball alive because they one thing I noticed, and then looking at the stats, that sort of made it completely obvious. But they 20 offloads to 3 offloads, so they kept the ball alive just to basically gas out the Raiders, which is what they had to do.
And they started the second half off like the absolute best manner that they could. You know, they've gone in at halftime 25-6 down, and Brownie would have just been just be patient, be patient. Yeah. Hang on to the ball, kick to the corners, try and keep the ball in play as much as humanly possible, and let's see how we can go with a little bit of second phase. Mm-hmm. And, the Cody Nikorima try, you know, in the first couple of minutes of the first half, of the second half, just blew by like three defenders just with pure speed. And you're like, okay, this is what's happening here. And and it just, I guess one sort of controversial moment out of this was the Murdoch Masilla try on the 60th minute off a pretty, I thought it was a pretty obvious forward pass, which
you can't rule on, unfortunately.
No, that's right. You can't rule on it. So which I get Ricky Stewart was none too impressed about. but it just, that's, I mean, it was just Canberra, by the end of it, they were just out of juice, just absolutely out of juice, and just could not hang on any longer.
Yeah.
And still had an opportunity to win the game.
Yeah, they did.
In the dying minutes.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. Yeah,
That tackle by Tuivasa-Sheck was unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. God damn.
Jordan Rapinoe had him beat on the outside. He was in for all money.
Yeah, Tuivasa-Sheck, again, played well in that game. That's going to be a big hole for them. A big hole for them, unfortunately.
Oh, absolutely.
Next game was the Broncos keeping the Bulldogs to zero, 24-0.
And only 2-0 at halftime. Like this, that was, I don't know, if it wasn't for, you know, the final, say, 20 minutes, that game is near unwatchable.
Yeah, I agree. Unwatchable.
Like that didn't even look like a couple of reserve grade sides getting around.
That it made the Broncos look better than they actually were. That made the Broncos look like a top eight side, that score, but they're not. Just from exactly what you just said then, we know what the Bulldogs are like at the moment, unfortunately, but the Broncos did not look like a top eight side. It was like an ugly win, so to speak. I don't like saying
both teams giving away cheap possession, cheap field position, and you're just like, man, what is happening here? The Bulldogs bomb an absolute certain try in the 13th, 14th minute with the break by Adam Elliott, and he double pumps.
Yeah.
What did he double pump for? Just pass it. You're just drawing pass. This double pump BS. Like, what the hell is he doing?
And then I don't know.
The thing is, then it ends up going behind Flanagan, and then everybody wants to rag on Flanagan because he dropped the ball. Adam Elliott doesn't have to double pump. He just needs to time it better and just put it on his chest. Just draw and pass.
Yeah.
And it just went. It just went from bad to worse. Canterbury were giving away set restart after set restart after set restart. Yeah, 15. The first 15 minutes in, they give it away five.
Yeah.
That's just diabolical.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, it's a put together squad. It's still got time that, you know, it needs time to sort of gel and all that, because it is a put together squad. I think, well, we've said it at the start, but I think having someone missing like Aiden Tolman was an error. That's all I can put it down to. A monumental error. I don't, because, you know, if they're saying what they're thinking of Napa, like trying to give Napa away just to get a player that they're going to have next year anyways, they don't think much of Napa. So Tolman just had that mongrel go forward, so to speak.
He's just a workhorse.
And what happened to that he was the second rower they got, he must be injured, that they touted about, that we touted about even. He came in, he had to quarantine, he came in late, I can't remember his name, but he must be injured.
Is it Luke Gardner?
Yeah, that's possibly it. He's a second rower. Yeah, it is Luke Gardner. Yeah, you're right. I don't know what happened.
I think he's in a little bit of I think he's on suspension.
Okay.
At this point in time.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Just trying to remember why he's in a little bit of strife.
I think something did happen at the end of the year, so we're probably glossing over that. But do you like having he got a try right at the end there, but do you like having Tom Dearden on the bench there? Like, what are they planning to do with him?
I've no idea. I think Kevy is just going, look, I've got to try and have him in the squad there somehow to whether he wants to try and put pressure on Croft and Milford, do you know what I mean? Just to say, he is in our top 17
mm-hmm.
players. So just to sort of plant, I get whether it's to plant the seed or he's been playing really good in the Queensland Cup as well. So whether it's just a form thing and he can't be denied, a first grade spot. So if it looks like Jake Turpin is not going to be effective for the full 80 minutes, then it's not a bad replacement to sort of come on and give him some rest, and to sort of quicken up the ruck a little bit.
Especially him being off contract too, so they don't, and you know.
No, that's right. They've got to try. That's, I mean, if they're serious on keeping him,
they've got to try and keep him
a little bit happy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
I thought Brisbane had a lot of success going down their left hand side with Herbie Farnworth.
Yeah.
Man, he scored Hopewadi three or four times.
Yeah.
And I think they did a. They did a really good job of sort of going down that side. And, you know, obviously Xavier Coates had a couple of tries towards the end of the game there. But the big catalyst in that second half was Jermaine Asako.
Jermaine Asako was, yeah, 100%.
He was the catalyst to that second half.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely.
He was brilliant.
I think he you mentioned him before, and now I've lost his name, Hopewadi. I don't know. I think he's coming towards the end of his career. He's clearly not going to make a New South Wales squad anymore, which is fine. I don't know. I think they might have overpaid for him personally. He's a step slower possibly because, you know, Herbie, like you just said, blew him away. Yeah, there's something there. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, it's just defensive lapses as well. He's been playing a lot of fullback as of late, so he hasn't really had to do a lot, you know, hasn't had to be up in the line of defense a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess it's just sort of getting used to the rigors of playing in the centers. And if you're going to be like that and you're going to get torched as easily as what you did, now you're a target.
Mm-hmm.
And other teams are going to see that. If we can see that, you know, coaching staff, they're going to see that. So
yeah, exactly.
He's going to be a target on one side of the field, absolutely.
The last Saturday game was the Eels murdering, at least with possession as well, the Sharks 28-4. They had nearly two-thirds of that possession in that whole game.
No, that's right. And I guess this is the curly one we're sort of talking about with the way that the Sharks finished off the game. Correct. with nobody left there on the bench. So yeah. We can't really take too much away from Parramatta as well. Look, Cronulla got the hot start.
Yeah,
they had all the front running from the start, and made Parramatta pay on a couple of early mistakes by them. But, you know, they hit back fairly quickly. It was 6-4 for a lot of that first half.
Yeah.
And it's been like the killer blow, you know, right before halftime, the Micah Sivo try, and you're like, oh, okay, well, it's 10-4, but the injuries are starting to mount, and then you're starting to get word that, you know, the HIAs are being failed. And then Mitchell Moses isn't going to come back. So you're like, oh, all right, here we go. Like, this could sort of bring them back to the field, obviously. Parramatta had Will Smith on the bench. So he's that utility slash sort of half that is a little bit of an insurance policy, so to speak. And he did really well in that second half. So, yeah,
it was. But that period between just after Mike Acevo's try, right up until the sort of the 65th minute, was, you know, speaking of, like you said, with Bulldogs and Brisbane, it was unwatchable. You thought that because the Sharks, we didn't have anybody coming back on, you'd think, and it's probably because Mitchell Moses wasn't there, you'd think they would have put them sword to him. And the
They showed no patience.
They were knocking
on the Warriors did.
It was tit for tat knocking on, and then it was like, oh my god, what is going on? That no one wanted to hold the ball.
They needed to show a little bit. And if and if Moses had been there, it might have been a bit different. But because they've got two young halves in there, you know, it might have been just a little bit sort of too much for him. And they'll learn from that.
Yeah.
That's fine, you know. But by the end of it, it's sort of, you know, they had a bit of a points avalanche, you know, towards the end of the game, and that's just what happens when you're the product of not having any interchanges and you're only having what 31% of possession.
That's, I mean, look at the Warriors. That's why they come back and won, because, you know, they gassed out Canberra Raiders. So yeah, up until probably that like 69th minute of Blake Ferguson's second try, it was near unwatchable, because they both just kept conceding errors after errors, and I was like, oh my god,
and especially after like a really good start as well. Like both teams only made like one mistake in the first 25 minutes.
Yeah.
So you're like, you know, this is going to be another one of those high quality games, and then after that it was just horrendous.
I think. Is Mitchell, was anything sort of come of him? I didn't sort of look that one up, but did anything come of him, Mitchell Moses?
No, just failed HIA. So, I guess I could only assume that he'll be available to play. I haven't looked through all the team lists this week just yet, but I could only assume that he will be available to play.
Just confirming that now, he is available to play against the Tigers. So the reason I'm sort of saying it, I think they look red hot at the moment. Again, it's only three games, but they look pretty good. Like they were doing the regular season again last year, and then they went sort of cold towards the end of the year. But no, hopefully that's right. They can keep going.
We said it towards the end of the season last year, you know, that they peaked way too early. So, and look, you know, they're playing really well to start this season again. So
exactly.
You know, hopefully they can sort of keep up that same energy and enthusiasm as we start to get through the season. And this is going to be a normal season again with State of Origin throughout the middle of the season. So, it's going to be a normal season. So, that you just have to see if Parramatta can maintain the rage, so to speak.
Next game, second last game, was the Tigers getting over the Knights 24-20. Our boy Tex Hoy got the first try for Newcastle.
Oh my god, Tex Hoy was so good in this game. Oh my god, he was so good in this game. Like he can't stay behind Kalen Ponga. Like he either has to, do you know what I mean? Like he's a talent. Like
I agree.
He's going to have 15 other clubs looking at him.
He'll move to the wing. He'll have to, because I don't think he's going to upset Kurt Mann or Hyde or Hunt, would he? I don't know. Would he?
No, he's not going to get it. He's not going to get in the halves or anything like that. Like he's, if anything, he would be some form of interchange player or you know something along those lines. But he absolutely he must play first grade. Like he showed it last year with the talent. Yeah. He's going to be along the same lines as AJ Brimson. Like AJ Brimson a couple of years ago got his little bit of a start in first grade. You could see the raw talent was there, and as soon as they put him in as the full-time fullback, have a look at what AJ's doing at the moment. He's going to be the same. He's going to be exactly the same. And Newcastle has to try and find a way to have him in the squad. Now, when Kalen Ponga comes back, which is still could be another month away.
Yeah.
They have to find a spot for him. Absolutely have to find a spot for him.
Well, he's off contract at the end of this year, so he can technically talk to any club at the moment. He was signed by Newcastle at 14 years old.
So they knew it.
There. Which is interesting if they did know that, but they keep topping up Kalen Ponga's contract, which is fine. I think Kalen Ponga's great. But if you've got this fullback who's only 20, by the way, that's you know, fairly handy as he was in this game. I don't know.
Like we said in our season preview, this is a put up or shut up year for Kalen Ponga.
Yeah. I think, I mean, personally, I think Tex could even, again, he's only 20, he could move to a 5'8". He could. He's that bulky sort of running 5'8" because he is pretty big ish. He's definitely bigger than Kalen Ponga.
He's not super tall. He's not super tall, but no, yeah, he's solid enough.
Solid enough. I know we're digressing away from that game, considering the nice loss. So,
well, I just think they took the Tigers too lightly.
Yeah, that's how it sort of came across.
That's how I sort of took it. Like, yeah. all the hoopla around Mitchell Pearce's 300th game and everything like that, and that's all well and good, but you still got to go out there and play. Like, I think they absolutely took the Tigers too lightly.
Did you personally think Mitchell Pearce had a good game? You know, I'm not saying
he had a good second half.
Second half, yeah. We got a try as well, but
yeah, I thought you know, him trying to sort of rally the team back, you know, in that last, you know, even the last 25 minutes, you know, his try, and then, you know, Newcastle sort of got a little bit of wind in their sails after being down, you know, 10 points. It was like 18-8 for a long time there, and it's a testament to the Tigers as well. They showed a little bit of sort of steely resolve to sort of keep Newcastle at bay. Like they did well to sort of push themselves out to a 10-point lead. The Tyson Frizzell try was great. That's such good footwork by a second rower to sort of get through the line the way that he did, and then get to the try line. For Newcastle to give up that lead, you know, 4 minutes later. They took them too lightly.
I'm glad.
Shibasaki was just awful. Like, there's no words to describe how disgusting he was under the high ball. And by the end of it, they just kept bombing to him, his side, every single time, and he just lost all confidence. Yeah, there was a couple of times where he didn't want a bar of it. And he's just let the ball bounce, and then all of a sudden it's a big mad scramble to get the ball. It's just like, man, it doesn't matter if you keep dropping him. You cannot let the ball bounce. It could go anywhere.
To be honest, they could have been well in this game if they gave Tex Hoy the kicking duties at the start instead of Mitch Barnett, because he missed the first two, and then Tex Hoy took the next two, and then spotted them. I know, but, you know, clearly said Tex Hoy can kick as well. So.
Yeah, that's right. And look, I guess a little bit of sort of controversy in this game as well with the blown call right in front of the touch judge with, I think it was Mitchell Pearce, and a 40-20 opportunity where Dane Laurie has sort of knocked the ball back in. But when he's touched the ball in the in goal, he hasn't put a foot back inside the field of play. He's jumped from outside the field of play and regathered the ball. That means you're out. You have to put a foot back in the field of play. And exactly he did it. Right. It was right in front of the touch judge.
Yeah.
In front of the touch judge. I think it's the blonde. It's the field. There's a Belinda Smith. It was right in front of her. It was right there.
Yeah, he didn't put the foot back. No, he didn't put the foot back at all.
Obvious.
You're right.
And that changes the game. It's the 28th minute. You know, Newcastle are starting to get a little bit of, you know, momentum in that first half, and for them to bomb to bomb such an obvious call right in front of the touch judge is insane.
No, you're right. I think that's okay. I think they'll bounce back next week pretty handily, Newcastle. It was a good win for Tigers, but I don't see them. They're just like those other three teams we mentioned. I don't see them creating waves this year, the Tigers, at all, personally.
Just one of those.
They're fourth last, so they're with those other four teams that haven't won yet. Yeah. That's three.
Oh, just one of those games where it was just all going well for one team, and the other team it only took a few errors, and I guess only by a couple of people that it sort of shunts the game out, and there's nothing you can do. What did you think about the big unit, Dom Young's debut?
Oh, it wasn't too bad. I mean, he had a couple of costly errors right at the end there. I'm not going to say you can't blame.
He's a big unit.
He is. But I was going to say you can't blame, you know, just because it was costly errors right at the end there, you can't blame it on a debutant. You can't blame it on anybody, I suppose. Yes, they're costly errors, but for a debutant, that's a bit, you know, I'm assuming he wouldn't have got blamed, but I'm just, they were costly errors.
That just get a little bit of nerves, a little bit of experience, and maybe he was, you know, just a little bit nervous, because when he was putting on the his number 20 jersey, he proceeded to rip it because it was too small for him, so he had to go with the number 32.
Because he's a unit, and that's why.
Because he's a unit.
So he had to go number 32.
He had to put on number 32. I was listening to it on the radio.
Really?
They were really adamant. And it's like they kept saying about who was the last person to debut for a first grade side in the number 32, and obviously the stats guru Dave Middleton had sort of come back and said to them that the last person to debut in the number 32 jersey was Stuart Pearce for the Cronulla Sharks in 1997 in the Super League year.
Yeah,
he wore number 32. So, and that was the thing. That was the little gimmicky thing with Super League. You could wear whatever number you wanted.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But he's only like he's a UK boy, so he's only 19. But he's 6'5".
Yeah, I was gonna say he's 19. But you can tell that they're going to be very heavily invested in his future. So. Look, you know, he'll hopefully not so much learn from those mistakes, but you just got to put that behind you and look forward.
6'5", 107 kilos. My God.
He's a monster. He is an absolute monster. Imagine what he eats.
the last game
will be massive.
The last game was, which you were at, unfortunately, was the Cowboys going down to the Titans 44-8. I'll say unfortunately for you, at least, anyway. Not fortunately for that. Two games.
I wasn't expecting.
Well,
a whole lot
you can't. Game, yes. But, no. I know you like both sides. I'm not, and you'd like the Cowboys more. That's why I sort of. What do you reckon? There's a lot of reasons of what happened, but what? I mean, you've seen it firsthand.
I got eyeballs. I had eyeballs on everything in that game. They were, and you know, not just me. You know, seeing it as well, pretty much from like ground level as well.
I'll rub it in.
Yeah, but it just Josh McGuire in the post game interview sort of put it best. I think it's just got a soft underbelly at the moment, and they just don't have any resolve at the moment. Like a few things go against them, and their heads just go down. And that they just don't show any capacity at all to be able to put that behind them and focus on what's in front of them rather than just think about, well, what's just happened.
The problem it's not a problem, but you're right. I don't think, and there's no one sort of, you know, there's no one sort of putting their hand up. And there's two people I can think of only because of the amount of money they're on. They're not people, and they're people that don't speak. So there's no one putting their, like, Valentine Holmes and just Jason Taumalolo are both quiet guys. If you go from, you know, Jason Taumalolo has always been a quiet guy. He lets his yards do the talking. And Valentine Holmes came from the Sharks, where he's not a big talker. But they're the ones that are getting paid the most money. Unfortunately, I guess for them, so they should be the ones, personally to me, or at least Valentine Holmes, because he can play in that halves, to sort of push him and go and get him to go forward. And it's just not happening.
No, and the other thing is too is there, I guess there's sort of severe lack of go forward as well, and that's not boding well for the halves. So if you don't get that really nice free flowing go forward, then it just makes it so much harder on your halves, and that's a real sort of telltale sign, especially with Clifford at the moment.
Yep.
He's just looking like a reserve grade halfback. He cannot find the grass with kicks. They go to the player 90% of the time. Yep. He's got a huge boot on him, but it's not about just having a gigantic kick. It's about placement. It's about using your run game as well. There's a lot of things that need work, up here in Townsville. It's just And look, you cannot take anything away from the Gold Coast. They took every single opportunity that was presented to them by the Cowboys, and they looked terrific.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They did. They looked very, very good. That was two wins for them in the row.
Fafita was having a field day down the left hand side, especially in the first half.
Yeah, no one could stop it.
He was having a field day.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was good to watch, but it was just ridiculous.
They're absolutely missing Tamalolo and his go forward. And not to take anything away from Ruben Cotter, he's a good player, but he's being thrown in there at the number 13, and he just lacks punch. He just lacks go forward, and that's not what you need. Yeah, you know, Cohen Hess is proved that he's not an 80-minute player, that he has defensive lapses. It's their whole left edge is ordinary.
Yeah.
When it comes to defensive wise, it's unbelievable. Josh McGuire it was just a scathing assessment of what's happening there. It's said three years.
Yeah.
The same shit for 3 years.
Are they missing, and this will sort of tie into some news that's sort of come out, I guess, are they missing that, look, Michael Morgan was ruled out with that game with a nagging sort of shoulder injury, and it's highly possible, hasn't happened yet, but it's highly possible that he might have to prematurely retire because of this nagging sort of shoulder injury.
They are, from what I've sort of heard up here on the radio, read in the paper, that they are absolutely not giving up on him yet. That they're going to be doing everything they can to try and make this shoulder injury manageable and try and remedy it somehow for him to get back, playing on the football field. But it's just not responding. Same sort of thing. It's been 2.5 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
That he has constantly missed football. And it's not, I don't think it's looking very positive. They've got a lot of money invested in him, so they've got no choice but to try everything humanly possible to try and get him back on the field, because even though at the moment they're not looking very good in attack, but he definitely makes your team better.
Unless you're right, they've got a huge investment in it, and he will make that team better, unless he obviously medically retires. So, and that money just sort of, flutters away, so to speak, out of the cap.
No, exactly. And, there's lots of rumors sort of floating around at the moment that, there's been a team of Cowboys, whether it's executives or, a team of Cowboys upper management have gone to Sydney down to see not so much disgruntled, but a slightly unhappy Adam Reynolds from the Rabbitohs, who's not getting a long-term deal, which is what he wants from the Rabbitohs. He wants to see commitment from them, and at this point in time, they're not giving him that commitment. So I think it's a smart move to go down there and try and put a little bit of pressure on. And that's the thing. So you go down there, you show interest in him, they might have to inflate their price a little bit. So that means that they can't sign people, next off season that maybe they want to, because they've got a lot of money tied up in Adam Reynolds. So it's a good ploy all around by North Queensland to go down there and do that and show that interest.
Yeah.
Look, so there's 15 other clubs that are going to be showing interest in him.
I looked into it. So he wants a 2 to 3 year deal. Souths are standing firm on only tabling a 1 year offer.
And that's crazy.
Which is crazy because he's 31 years old, but he's still, he's not going to again possibly now with the halfbacks we have, but he's a New South Wales player. He's a very, very good, kicking game. Phenomenal.
Unbelievable.
But you're right. So Cowboys didn't get a face-to-face meeting with him, but they did speak to him on the phone and officially registered their interest. On the flip side,
and that's all you need to do to start off. That's the seeds you need to plant then, because if South start to feel threatened by other teams sniffing around the players, and they're like, oh, if he wants, you know, if we're going to keep him, maybe we've got to up the price a little bit, because it, like you said, if North Queensland free up that 800,000 or so, 850,000 that Morgan's on, they can just go straight out there and offer it. Here you go. Here it is right here.
Well, so Stephen Gillis has then gone, his manager has gone back to the Rabbitohs just to confirm, like, just wants final clarification on their position with Reynolds. You know, will you move on off the 1 year? Do you want, you know, will you give him 2 years? And he's pretty firm on it, I guess, just, you know, just to put more pressure on him to give him an answer by Monday. But from what you just said and what they're offering, so they're only offering $700,000 to him, which I'm not saying that's small money, but that's still a decent set of money. But on the flip side, it looks like the Cowboys can, changing a couple of things around, can do, his choice would be either stay at Rabbitohs for 1 year for 700 or 3 years for 3 million at the Cowboys. So
that's right. Well, but, and when you, it's, I mean, and it just, I guess it just sort of goes on what he wants to accomplish at the end of his career, I guess.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean,
he's got nothing else to prove. Well, you know, unless he wants to get a Dally M or, you know, or represent Australia or something like that. But, you know, he's played Origin. He's won himself a premiership. It's, do you know what I mean? Like, he's got, everybody knows that he's one of the best number sevens in the game. Like, what else has he got to prove? It's going to be very hard for him to sort of get into that representing the Kangaroos. You know, unless he just has an unbelievable hot streak sort of towards the end of the season, then he might be able to get himself a Kangaroos jersey. But do you know what I mean? Like, it's just where I think he would feel he is at the end of his career, and whether or not he can come up to a place like North Queensland and help them rebuild.
Yeah, and on the flip side, I think because, see, Cody Walker comes off his contract next year, so they'd have to sort of start investing in him if they're going to go that way. So they're not going to be able to keep both of them, unfortunately. So
no, that's right. There's going to be a massive investment in one of those two players.
And Cody's on the younger side. So
that's right.
I think
that'd be what they're looking at.
I think Adam Reynolds would fit in perfectly with the Cowboys. I think he absolutely would. Absolutely. He would start. You know. I could just see him be Valentine Holmes playing off him so well, just like
the thing is with North Queensland though, that's just one hole that needs to be fixed.
Correct.
Like they still need a lot of help up front. They're losing prop depth at the end of this year as well, with Francis Molo going to St. George Illawarra. So yeah, Jordan McLean is not the player that he once was.
No.
Yeah, you've got Tamalolo still wrapped up for the next 1,000 years, so you know you don't really have to worry about that. So they have to go out there and either try and get themselves, you know, a good and established good go forward prop prop, or they need to start blooding some of these young guys what they've got to see if they've got the gumption, to see if they've got the go that they need to be first graders.
That's exactly right.
They've got to have another clean out. They only had a clean out a couple of years ago. Now they're going to have to have another club purge.
I mean personally, I think it starts. You maybe starts in the six or seven. Like, depending on what happens with Michael Morgan. I just think you really. I know they're heavily invested in, but they really need to work out what they want to do with Valentine Holmes. Do you put him one? Do you put him six? Because you cannot pay that amount of money for a winger.
You can't put him at six. He has to, for the money that they've got in there, and that's where they sort of got themselves hogtied a little bit. The money that they spent, you have to have him at fullback. Like, there's no.
I know. I agree, and I think he's a great fullback. But I mean, it's one of the many holes, like you said.
He's a safe fullback.
He is a safe fullback.
And he shows glimpses. You know, the try that he scored against the Dragons last week, the little chip through and run through that. Those are the kinds of things that he can do. But it's to me, it's, I don't know, it's, rugby league's a simple game. Yeah, you get good go forward from yeah. your big guys up front. It makes things so much easier behind them.
Oh, of course it does.
It just does.
The other bit of news that came out, this was pretty like in the last, or at least this afternoon, was utility from the Tigers, Moses and Bai, has been granted permission to negotiate with other clubs for next year. He's on a deal understood to be north of 800,000 a season.
800 grand.
So it looks like Tigers are willing to pay probably about half of that, which then obviously frees up money for them as well. So I've always liked him as a player. I think he's only 27. He feels like he's been around forever.
I know he's been around for so long, but he's a representative player. Like it's just at the at the Tigers at the moment. Unfortunately, he's Mr. Fix It, so he can't. He's like Tyrone Peachy for the Gold Coast. He's Mr. Fix It, so wherever they need him to play, and he'll go out there. He'll do a good job, and that's to his credit and that's to his detriment.
And he said, I'm not ashamed to admit the club is not getting value for money out of me. He has a big opinion of the club. He said he wants it to be part of its success, but so he doesn't want to leave him in a hole and just leave this year. But I mean, that kind of money, he's one of their marquee players, and I don't know if you pay that. I mean, what you mentioned, Tyrone Peachy, he's getting paid that kind of amount of money, so.
Well, I don't think he's on 800, but I know he's on a decent deal.
But the difference is between those two is it's not the players. The players are both capable and both good. The difference is that the Titans have a pretty well balanced squad with the amount of money that he's
now
on.
They do
correct. But with what Moses and Bai, the amount of money he's on, the Tigers don't have a well balanced squad. So I think I could speculate where he's going to go. I don't know. I think. Somewhat the Broncos Broncos would be a nice little start. He is a Queensland boy. That might be actually bad at all, to be honest.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Like you said, he I guess he just wants to nail down a job. Yeah. He wants to go to a club where they go, yeah, we have a clear path for you. We have a clear vision for you. Yeah. You're going to be our fullback. You're going to be our 5'8". You're going to be our center, and that's where you're going to play each and every week.
I don't know where he would go.
He can play all of those positions, but he doesn't get enough time at the same position to be able to shine. Do you know what I mean? Like he can have good performances every now and then, but he doesn't get that consistency, and that's what he wants.
Move on to our studs and duds of the week. We'll start with your dud of the week because you text me very early on the week, on the Sunday to say you've already got it. So how about it? I think I already know what it is, but go ahead.
Look, Giamatsu Shibasaki, just brutal.
That was mine too.
Just brutal.
Oh my God.
I've watched highlights of that game, but I listened to that game on the radio. Whilst waiting for the Gold Coast to come out and demolish the Cowboys. So I was listening to that game on the radio. Just, oh, my God, like the ABC commentators were just feeding it to him. He just didn't get any better.
No, he didn't. No.
That was unbelievable.
He's playing again this week in the centers, like, too,
that's because Bradman Best is still gone. Correct. So, yeah, they're yeah, and they don't have Edric Lee back as well, so they're a little bit sort of light on, I guess, for outside backs.
Yeah.
Newcastle at the moment, so they've really kind of got no choice unless they want to take him out and put somebody like Tau Tau Moga's gone as well. So do you know what I mean? Like they had a flurry of them last year, and they've let Moga go to, I think he's gone to South. So do you know what I mean? Like they're a little bit light on for quality first graders. And that's the same sort of thing. He's got to put that behind him. But, man, he didn't look likely.
I think that's why.
He didn't look likely.
Well, that's why I think he was moved from the wing position into the center position, just so he doesn't have to worry about catching a ball like that.
That's right, exactly. You got no choice.
They'll have Blake Green back this week too on the bench for the first time this year, obviously. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. Because if he ends up slotting in well, push Kurt Mann back in the centers, and it might be okay then. So,
there's your Mr. Fix It for Newcastle. It's Kurt Mann.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, you always need a player like that.
Go out there and do a job.
You need a player. Like, there's nothing wrong with a player.
Absolutely. Mr. Fix-It player. Right, absolutely.
Yeah, that was mine as well. I thought you were going to say that, so I took that as well because it was shocking to see.
Oh, my Lord. Listening to it on the radio and then watching the highlights, it didn't look likely. He was rattled after he dropped the first one.
Did you have a start of the week?
Look, I do, and it was witnessing it firsthand in AJ Brimson. It was unbelievable. He was in everything up here in Townsville on Sunday afternoon. He was in absolutely everything. He was dynamic. Two try assists. Look safe, good under the high ball. Got the Gold Coast sets off to a good start. Yep. Not so much purely on the fact that the Cowboys kicking game was horrendous, but do you know what I mean? Like he makes the game look easy.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Yeah. And I probably could have gave it to anybody on that, you probably could have gave it to Fifita, to Tino.
Well, Fifita playing well at the moment. Monstrous as well.
So yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I wanted just because I can now see the potential and I think he's going to be good, and I just like saying his name all the time. I just wanted to give it back to Tech Soy.
Why not?
Because he did pretty good in that game. Yes, it was in a losing team, but he did very, very well of what we see in him, not just the name.
They didn't lose because of him.
So, no, they definitely didn't lose because of him, sorry. I agree with you. I think they have to sign him. It'd be ridiculous if they don't sign him. But then he looks pretty capable as a fullback. So he would be. Where he would just slot in perfectly. And just because he's moving on. And I thought somewhere like while he's young as the Warriors. I don't know.
They've got their replacement for Tuivasa-Sheck in what's the young kid's name? Reece Walsh.
Yeah,
for Brisbane. So they've sort of got their future fullback there, and not to say that they can't go out there and sort of get Tex on a sort of team friendly contract or anything or that. But that's going to be the thing. It's going to be which club is going to go out there and maybe throw some dollars at him, because he surely can't refuse that.
You wouldn't think so. If he's not getting anything from the Knights, you wouldn't think so.
Play second fiddle to Caelan Ponga.
Yeah.
Or go out there and have your own team to run.
I just don't know where the only place where he could sort of fit in that probably needs a fullback, is the Tigers, I guess. That's the only one that sort of springs to mind that doesn't have a true out-and-out fullback. But, because Adam Dewey's now moved into the 5'8", so...
Right, he's moved into the halves. I heard that at the start of the year that they were moving him into the halves,
That's a mishmash of a team, my God. Anything else before we finish up?
Look, I guess we sort of, as we sort of alluded to at the start of the pod, the injury toll from this week was just otherworldly. So, I guess over the next few weeks we're going to see some out of the ordinary sort of players and key players gone for certain teams. Like we said, there's Luke Keary and Lachie Lamb are gone. Yeah. Ben Hunt's gone. Dylan Edwards has broken his hand for the Panthers. So they're going to be looking, at a replacement fullback, for the next few weeks.
Stephen Crichton's moved back there actually.
Which
is interesting.
Yeah, so that'll be real interesting. So Brandon Smith hurt his shoulder.
Yeah.
In the game on Thursday night, so he's been. I'm pretty sure he's been named this week, but Peter Hiku was hurt.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable the amount of injuries that come out of this week. And so, like I said, yeah, it'll be. I just really hope that that the speed of the game is not a contributing factor, and a lot of sort of people have come out and said that, oh well, you know, some of it might have to do with the wet track, you know, some of the grounds might have still been soggy from the week before's rain and stuff like that. And it's like, no, look, that's a valid point, but if this taking the concussions out of it, like, you know, they can be completely random in how they occur, but it's the amount of, you know, sort of injuries, you know, whether it's knee, Achilles, foot injury, hand injuries, it just fatigue brings mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just does.
You know, Ruben Cotter tried to get down and I think it might have been Fasua Malali that he tried to tackle, and he just hit his hip, and he just went flying. Like, it just rocked him. And he went flying about 2 meters in the other direction, like he was in a movie, like he was a stuntman. And you knew his afternoon was done, and you're just like, oh my god, like this is just it just keeps happening. But I just wanted to point that it's just something to sort of watch out for, I guess, in sort of future rounds, whether or not that this is just an anomaly this round, or will this continue to happen? And how long is it, just me, or how long are kickers taking to kick conversions now? Is it just me?
Oh, no, I haven't noticed it.
Maybe it is just me. It just seems that kickers are taking an awfully long time to kick conversions.
And that could be a coach's point too.
Exactly. And though the referee blows time off. But I think that absolutely is a league-wide ploy at the moment. You know, take an extra 30 seconds maybe it's just me that it just seems like that they're taking an inordinate, an unordinary long time to kick conversions.
I'm just looking at the casualty ward. So much, I can't believe that they've got a sponsor for the casualty. This is the NRL website. The Chemist Warehouse Casualty Ward, it's called. That shows you how bad the injuries are. But out of every single team, there's only one team that has only two players injured, and that's the Titans. The rest have at least 5 to 6 players. So I can't believe they've got a sponsor for the casualty award. That just shows you how bad it is.
Everything's got a sponsor now.
Well, that'll do it this week for our NRL pod. Don't forget, follow us on our socials, Twitter at Final Play Pod, and Facebook, as always, Final Play Podcast, where you can get all our every single podcast as well, or at least the links to get to them as well, on gimco.com.au.
Yep. So yeah, check those out. Check us out on Spotify as well. You know, we're on there. Sure. So give us a follow on Spotify. I'm not sure how that famous little piece of fruit is traveling along, but that seems to have fallen into the quicksand a little bit there. But
it's probably more of an abyss than a quicksand.
So,
probably more of an abyss than a quicksand. So
that's like the movie The Sphere. You just get sucked into it, it's never coming out.
It's coming.
Oh, So's Easter. Oh, hang on a minute. Easter's here.
Good point. Oh, well, that's a good way to finish. Have a good Easter, everyone.
Have a happy Easter, everybody.
My name's Jason. We'll see what happens with Easter. Considering what's going to happen in Queensland at the moment.
That's right. Yeah, Queensland. Well, I guess we'll see at 9 a.m. tomorrow whether or not the lockdown is been taken off and everybody can be free to move about for their long weekend, their Good Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see.
But
some of the teams have obviously had to move to Sydney and all that just to finish up. So.
Yeah. Well, they have a double header. There's a double header at Cogger on Saturday night. It's the Cowboys and the Sharks and the Gold Coast and Canberra. So, those two games have obviously been moved. So I think Brisbane are still they're still okay to play down in Melbourne, but they're based in Sydney for at least the next 2 weeks. So,
yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, so a little bit of a disruption, so to speak. So, but hopefully that that doesn't disrupt what's happening this weekend. So, I'll be signing off as Miles can't wait to get to Hamilton Island Plum.
Have a good week, everyone.
See you.